Heavenly Father, we thank you for visiting us today, for demonstrating your power, for demonstrating your glory, for breaking out in our presence. You're an alive God. You care for us. You desire to know us intimately. God, we thank you that our prayers, our worship are not in vain. Oh, God, thank you. Heavenly Father, we invite you into the rest of this service this morning. Arrest us. Grip us. Speak to us. We're so grateful. We thank you for your love and what you are revealing to us and what how much more you will do in this service yet. The best is yet to come. God, we commit the rest of this service to you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' wonderful name. And all the saints and the church says amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. You may be seated. Wow. God is good, isn't he? And we're just getting started. It's a new season, what God wants to do. And just so grateful. So good morning, Calvary Church family, not only those that are here, but being a greeting to those who are online joining us through our Facebook page. We're so grateful to be together. Stacy and I have been looking forward to Sundays. It's like when we're all together as a family. And so just grateful that we could be together today. And just got to say, it's so good to see John Liner walk in this place this morning. John, I mean, and you didn't casually walk in. You are strutting in. And we're just going to keep praying for that further healing that God's doing. Yes. But we celebrate with you. Yes. And so good to see you in this place this morning. Makes me smile. God's good. And so continue to pray for John, though. Let's pray that God restores his lungs to that of a young child. Yes. Amen? Yes. And God is in the midst of that. And also pray for some of our church family this morning. Kurt, our prayers are with you and your family. The Techmeyer family, phenomenal service yesterday to honor Adeline. Goodness. Beautiful service. And what a saint that we can, it was a celebration. Yes. But we continue to stand with you in the season of grief too. And just want to make sure, too, that you will be praying for Mike and Peggy, Charlanatas, because Peggy's sister passed on. And we just want to stand with Peggy and the entire family as they grieve this weekend. Jean Hansen, her father, passed away this last week as well. And so make sure you extend your love and grace and mercies and comfort them. And so let's pray for our family. Can we do that? Yes. Heavenly Father, thank you for even in this moment that we can take a moment and pray for those who are grieving this morning. For as they grieve, you grieve. And so in that, God, we grieve, we stand with them. And Father, we just pray you put your hedge of thorns of protection, your loving arms around them this morning. May they feel you being totally surrounding them with your presence this morning. That where there is grief, Lord, bring love, bring that lightness that we don't grieve like the world grieves. We don't grieve with an endless grief because, Father, of the hope that we have in you. And we pray you strengthen them today. And Father, we just invite you into the rest of this service as we commit it to you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. 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 Well, on Pastor Appreciation Day, there's also a couple guests I have to mention. We're honored to have Stacy's sister and my brother-in-law, Kamel and Larry Hoyne, with us this weekend. Great that you're with us. And so we'll keep dragging family this way. So love on them and We'll keep dragging them prayerfully. Keep visiting us, please. Also, felt it was very fitting on Pastor Appreciation Day, again, for Pastor Jerry and Jeannie Bruett to be with us. Thank you. Here's why it's important. We would not be experiencing an altar like this if it wasn't for their leadership in an interim time. And I will just tell you, Pastor Stacy and I feel this as we're stepping into our role, the mantle, that there was so much, we can feel it spiritually, there was so much health in the beginning, in the process, that it's like the wave that just keeps getting bigger. Yes. So I'll use the bay analogy. So the waves that are in the middle of the lake, they're not that big at the middle of the lake, but when it gets close to the shore, and we're not even close to the shore of where God wants us to go. But thank you for being used of the Lord in that, in our season, and it's definitely helping the move for this new season. So if you're visiting with us this morning, we've been in a series in Numbers chapter 6, so turn with me if you don't mind. And just a quick reminder, I even think of that as we prayed for those that are dealing with loss. Make sure you're here next Sunday. Dan Harrod, our Youth Alive missionary, will be here, but I've asked Dan not to do a typical missionary thing. Dan's story and his family of how they've walked through grief and loss is phenomenal. In fact, Dan has been speaking at churches throughout our country, around the Midwest, beyond his role as Youth Alive, because God is using their story phenomenally to bring healing and comfort. And so if you know somebody that's really have gone through that journey and they're still in the midst of the valley, you really want them to be here next week. And so you do not want to miss it. It'll be a pivotal Sunday. It'll be an amazing Sunday next week. And God's going to do great things. Today, Numbers chapter 6. We continue into our incredible journey of Numbers chapter 6. What's interesting about this, and I didn't really think of it. I mean, it was there. But there's parts as we transition. We're still in a transitioning process as we step into this new season. And this blessing was literally spoken over the nation of Israel in the midst of the wilderness. So they were in the midst of going from slavery to the promised land when this blessing was being spoken over. And so as we, and that's where I just didn't capture even that aspect, that as we're walking into this new season, of how God wants to work and speak to us as a church in a new anointing, in a new revelation of who he is. Here's the amazing part. This blessing brings back even added depth to us. Because in that same way, as we charter into some new territories here, this blessing will echo in what God wants to do in our next season. So Numbers chapter 6, if you'll turn there, verse 22 through 27. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons to bless the people of Israel with this special blessing. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord protect you. May the Lord smile on you. And today, be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. So today, grace. It's the thing you crave the most, especially, in fact, you could pull up a picture if you don't mind. Have you ever had the moment when you've been pulled over by the police? You know, the last time it's been several years, so it's not common for your pastor to get pulled over. But I can remember I was running faster than I should, traveling faster than I should, left the house a little late to catch a flight out of Springfield to where I was traveling to, and literally not even a mile from our house, pulled over. And there's nothing like that helpless feeling, because you're like, I was speeding. It's like, and every officer in every moment, you know, don't you have that? Because you're already thinking of the cost. The embarrassment a little bit too, right? I mean, there's a shame in that moment where you're all of a sudden, you're just like, and I can't tell you how many times the officer walks up. So why are you traveling a little fast this morning? You know, honestly, you can't, I mean, at least for me, I'm just sitting there going, I don't have a good excuse. I'm late for my flight. I was speeding. You know, I mean, there's just parts. You just know when you're caught. There's sometimes, I mean, because it's happened. I haven't gotten a ton of tickets. It's like three times. Stacey's like, that's your mess. Each one of those times, I can just remember, it's like, I'm caught. Give me the ticket. I mean, in a respectful way, it's like, I broke the law. And there's nothing you can do you can't rewind the clock. You can't undo the damage. Because see, in my mind, I'm going, oh, great, there went my insurance rate. My insurance rate just maybe went up a tick. My wife's not going to be happy because the insurance rate just went up a tick. So when I get home, you'll get the spousely stare. You shouldn't, you know, I mean, it's common. So we've all been there. On that morning when I was late for the flight, the cop went up, goes, you know, this is the first time we've ever pulled you over. You have a pretty good clean record, because he could look back over and goes, I'm going to show you grace today. I'm going to let you off with a warning. Be a little slow. Make your flight. Have a great day. Grace that I did not deserve, but was shown. And so this morning, that's the wonderful news of our message, is that God, and this weekend, out of this blessing, wants to be gracious to you. He wants you to know his grace that he has given to you. So the word gracious in this passage comes from the original language in the Hebrew that means to show favor, to show mercy, to show kindness. And the Hebrew language, besides just the literal language and letters that you see, there was often pictures associated with the Hebrew word. And so the picture that would come across associated with this word is this. It's of someone of a superior position, stooping, bending down low to show favor. What a picture that the God of the universe, and this is the grace that we're talking about today, the God of the universe bent low, stooped over, because he loves us so much. That is an amazing grace. So just as last week, we learned that God is smiling on us. He's shining on us. He's shining into our lives. Here's the amazing part, and that's why it's not by happenstance. Each one of these starts to flow in a wave of God revealing himself. So even as last week, God shines his light in our life. It's the moment he does that, that his presence becomes realized in our life. It's not a coincidence then that some of the first parts is we realize his grace. Then we start seeing even greater levels of just how our God has bent over to show his love, his desire to meet each one of us. So today, when grace is seen immediately after we see the light, may we look at grace today. So if you leave with nothing else today, I want you to capture this. I want this to be an anthem for you today. So if you start today, if you catch nothing else, know this. No matter where you are, where you come from, no matter what you've done, no matter how many times you've done it, there's grace for you. If you're laboring under a constant sense of unworthiness, feeling like you never quite measure up, you never quite fit in, there's grace for you. If you struggle with legalism and judgment, always trying to earn God's approval, this will earn my way with God. Just know that there's grace for you today. If you're struggling to let go of something in the past, a very hurtful situation, hard to forgive somebody. That's a stubborn one. That's a hard one. Guess what? There's grace for you today to be able to forgive. If you're fighting with an addiction or some habitual sin, just know that there's grace for you. If you struggle to get it out of your head and into your heart, know that there's grace for you today. There's a God that wants to reveal himself to you in a powerful way. Philip Yancey, a great author, says this: grace means there is nothing I can do to make God love me more, and nothing I can do to make God love me less. Is that not a great anthem to know? So when we struggle to believe God really can love us, that there really is a bottomless, limitless supply of God's grace for us, rest in that, is that there is grace for you today. In Mark chapter 7, so if you turn with me in your Bibles, I want to really help you see in Scripture a picture of God's grace. Some points when you see an example, you can talk about grace, you can define grace, we could go through bullet points of grace, but some points when you start to see an example of it, then it's like, okay, if God could do that in their life, he could do it in mine. In Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 30, we'll look at a picture of grace. It's an account of a woman who finds grace with Jesus. She's a mom, but her child is demon-possessed. She is gone, she searched, she's tried to go to other places. The demon possession isn't going to break. So she approaches the one hope that she has left, and it's the only hope, really. She approaches Jesus. But we see that this woman is from Syria. She's a Syrian Phoenician, which in customs of that day, people of that nationality would never approach could not approach any Israelite or Jew. It wasn't allowed, and yet this woman was desperate. And it's interesting as we watch this account this morning, as we walk through it and dig into the story, that even with it being improper by Jewish customs, Jesus welcomes her, speaks to her in a very interesting way, and we see grace extended. Verse 24, then Jesus left Galilee and went to the north region of Tyre. And he didn't want anyone to know which house he was staying in, but he couldn't keep it a secret. Right away, a woman who had heard about him came and fell at his feet. Her little girl was possessed by an evil spirit, and she begged him to cast out the demon from her daughter. Since she was a Gentile born in Syria and Phoenicia, that's the background. She's someone that her background, she shouldn't be approaching Jesus. The disciples were definitely on guard with this woman even beginning to speak. When you look at Matthew chapter 15, and so if you keep your finger, you can see the same account except from Matthew. In Matthew 15, verse 23, verse 23 says this, but Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then his disciples urged him to send her away. Tell her to go away, they said. She's bothering us with all her begging. So do you get the picture? She didn't just beg. She didn't just ask. She's pleading and not giving up. So here's hope for us already in this passage this morning. As you were prayed for in your healing this morning, as you were prayed for finding agreement, if you felt like you still need God to answer that prayer, here's the great part. Follow this woman's example. Keep begging. Keep pleading. Keep asking. Ask, seek, knock. God will reveal himself. Here's the great part. Your miracle is one prayer away. And so many times we can pray, God doesn't do anything at that moment. But just know, God is in the process of answering that prayer. He's in the midst of stooping down into our situation, bending over. Don't give up. The way we should say it is, God hasn't healed me yet. Lord, give us the faith. the persistence to keep boldly asking, what does God want to do in this church to reach this area? What does God want to do in my life in this new season? What do I want to believe God to do in my life like never before? The gifts that God wants to grow in you spiritually won't just happen. It just won't pop. You need to be persistent. You need to be urgently seeking. And that's what we see from this amazing woman. She doesn't stop. But back to our story, verse 27 in Mark chapter 7. Jesus told her first, so this is the interesting part. We know the nationality differences, but watch Jesus respond to her. Jesus said first, I need to feed the children, my own family, the Jews. It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it away to the dogs. So, very interesting statement for Jesus to respond, basically saying that this woman's a dog. Her nationality is a dog. It's startling. And we'll be startled by her response, but have you ever seen it go over good that you've ever called a girl or a woman a dog? No. And since most of our teenagers are in youth convention in La Crosse, so if they happen to watch this movie, I just have to take a minute. For our teenage boys, don't ever call your girlfriend a dog. Also, do not call her your little heifer. She's not a cow. Call her honey. It'll go a long way. And yet, as we laugh, here's the amazing, startling point. Is in many ways, I feel like Jesus was testing her faith. Because Jesus is having people coming all the time, asking, begging. And I really believe Jesus in this part was, are you sincere with your prayer? Are you sincere? And Jesus began to realize that because she's not only persistently begging, but watch her amazing response. Would you see this? Because it starts to show grace in an amazing way. Verse 28, she replied, that's true, Lord. She didn't rebuke Jesus for what he was saying. It didn't. In our culture today, think of how many people would have been offended at this point with Jesus. But when you're really desperate and you really know that you have no other place to turn, when you realize that, see, our nation would respond to Jesus in that way because they would start to trust their wealth, they would trust their status, they would trust that they could get along with life. Jesus would have been an add-on. God's an add-on. It's the thought. So many people try to add Jesus to their life rather than letting Jesus change their life. When you're desperate and you really see the need for grace, and this woman was at that point, because this is where her statement is really remarkable. That's true, Lord, but even the dogs under the table are allowed to eat scraps from the children's plates. What a statement. A statement to be able to say, yes, but you will still feed. Because see, there's an essence. She had already seen some of Jesus' miracles or heard of the stories. She knew that this was her only place that she could find. But look at Jesus' response then in verse 29. Good answer. Jesus starts to be amazed at her faith. He goes, now go home, and the demon has left your daughter. And when she arrived home, she found her little girl lying quietly in the bed, and the demon was gone. Her answer revealed to Jesus not only her wit, but her will. It showed her faith. It showed her humility. Here's the amazing part. So when she replied to Jesus, that's true, Lord, when you look at the book of Mark, I want you to notice something. The only time Jesus is attributed, called Lord, is from this woman in this instance. It didn't come from the religious. It didn't come from his closest group of the disciples. It came to a woman who the world would have said is unworthy and undeserving to approach him. So this morning, you need to know that there has been grace that is extended to you today. So I want to close with three simple points from this amazing story. First, this woman was not too proud to accept what God had said about her own unworthiness. She wasn't going to accept that. She wasn't too proud to accept that, God, I can't do it. You're right. I can't do this alone. Romans 3:23 is clear on this. For every one of us, everyone has sinned, and we all fall short of God's glorious standards. See, our best efforts on our very best days will never cut it. It doesn't matter your religious attendance record, although you'll find you'll grow better if you do it. But know this, your standing with God has nothing to do with this. It's not your religious tithing record. It's God's grace. It's not how religious you are. It's how humble you are. God's grace. See, we've all sinned. We've all had, and this is the moment, we're pulled over and there's nothing we can do. We're dead in our sins. But here's the part of grace. And this woman had caught it, and it caught Jesus' attention. It's why grace was demonstrated in her life. Well, she realized God is at work in this situation, and there is one I can approach. See, God did not want to leave us in that helpless, unhopeless situation in our sin. And that's why he sent Jesus to die on a cross for all of our sin. So in that moment when Jesus died at Calvary on a tree for us, all of our sin, all of it, past, present, future, for all of time, all sin was placed on him. He took on the judgment for us to take on God's wrath. Because here's the amazing part. God is love. He will stoop down. But don't dismiss the fact that he is totally holy. And his justice is just as straight as his love. And that's an amazing paradox, because people will sit there and go, how does those reconcile? Well, here's how he did it. He sent his son to die for us. To be that great bridge, even so God could stay demonstrating in his character no bend in his justice, but incredible strength in his love. It's grace. None of us in this room, especially me too, deserved it. We didn't earn it, but it's been given. That's the grace today. That no, and it's so easy to walk into a church, especially if you're a new visitor. Some points it's like you kind of walk in, and some points it's interesting watching some visitors, because they kind of come in going, is it okay for me to come? Yes. You'll find that this church, we are a bunch of unworthy, because we've been saved by grace, right? God has saved us. He's doing a work in our life, and his best is yet to come. I love how our former pastor, John Lindell, wrote this in his book, and it's our pastor when we weren't on the road where we'd attend, and he says this about grace. He goes, death was not God's idea. Death was not part of God's original design. God's intentions for humanity were only life, life, and more life. Death was not part of God's program. Death was a penalty. Death was a consequence for our insistence to do it our own way, to attempt to play to God rather than to trust God. Instead of living in dependence and trust, Adam and Eve became all self-sufficient. And we are living the implications of that choice even now. Now, death comes to us all, and there's no exceptions. But the good news is, he didn't leave us in that state. He sent his son to die for us so that we could be back to his intentions of having life, life, and life. Secondly, this woman was not consumed with her worthiness, that she didn't feel she could go to God. She realized it's nothing about her, but she could go to God. It's not based on my status. It's not a matter of your background. It's amazing as you talk with people, and even today, you can feel, walk in here and feel like, well, I feel so unworthy. Just know God loves you today. Third and finally, this woman understood that there was more than enough at God's table for herself and everyone else. She knew even if we had the scraps, it's more than enough. It's more than enough. Here's the great news, if the worship team will come. Be reminded today, God's big enough to meet your need. God's big enough, and that also he wants to meet your need. He wants to demonstrate himself adequately and display all of his power and his presence in your life. My encouragement to you is follow this woman's example. Keep praying. Keep begging. Keep depending. God's not done with your story. God is just beginning to write his power and his presence in your story in a new way. And he's doing that in the testimony of this church as well. It's a new season where he will write our story. But it's only as we walk in the depth of his grace. It's not because this church is any better than any other church. Even as we prayed this morning, I was praying that every gospel in our area where the gospel was preached, that every pulpit would go forth with power. So if you're here today and you do not know that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you need to know that there is a grace being extended to you. It's not about joining this church. It's not about that at all. It is about joining into a relationship with a God who is head over heels committed to your good. He loves you. His intent, his passion, his desire is that your life would have life to the full. And he wants you to know it. And you don't have to be bashful. You don't have to be ashamed to ask for it. You just have to have the guts and the persistence, just like this woman today, who's just like us, not worthy, not the status. So this is a church, we will be foundational on this. There isn't a status that you have to obtain. It's for all. And we're on this journey together, amen? Amen. Yes. So if you're here today, just know that there is a God that loves you and is for you. Would you stand with me this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you that today there is grace for us. There's grace here today. And that grace is for each one of us. And Lord, we just pray that you will just take these moments, this moment right here, right now, would you just continue to let your Holy Spirit at work in this room? And so this morning, I have to ask this. If you're here today and you know things are not right with the Lord, it was so amazing. People felt that obedience to step out earlier today. In fact, if I could have our prayer team come back up, if you don't mind. So if you go make your way across the front, all of our anointers and prayer people. If you're here today and you know things aren't right with God, why put it off one more day? Scripture's clear. Today is the day of salvation. Why put it off one more day? Some point you'll say, well, maybe when I'm down the road, Kent, when I'm a little bit, got it more together. Don't worry, you don't have to be more together. Today is the day. You have a God that's extending, stooping down to you. He's bending down to look you in the eye, to let you know he's for you. And he loves you. This isn't a thing of shame. This is a thing of celebration. And if you're here today and you need to rededicate yourself, or maybe for the first time, you need to make that decision that, Jesus, yes, I am giving everything to you. Be my leader, the Lord of my life. Be my Savior. I'm depending only on you for my salvation. If that is a commitment you need to make today, would you do one thing? Would you just lift up your hand where I can see it? Because I want to pray with you today. I knew that there's some here. Is there anybody? Just raise your hand, capture my attention. Thank you. Thank you. Is there others? Praise God. I want everybody to say this prayer with me, would you? Dear Jesus, thank you for not giving up on me, for loving me. Come into my life. Be my leader and my Savior. I give it all to you. Do a new work in my life. Let me see your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer and meant it, whether you raised your hand or not, but you knew that the heart of that prayer, you prayed it. In a moment, we're going to pray, we're going to worship. If you would go to this side of the stage, I want you to take one of the boldest steps that you will ever take. And I want you to step out from where you're at and meet with one of these altar workers. Would you do that? Because what's neat, these prayer team members want to pray with you. We want to get you a Bible. We want to walk with you. And when you take steps physically, it'll change you spiritually. Take the step of faith. Here's the deal. You could say, yeah, I prayed that prayer. I raised my hand and walk out. And you know what? Is anything going to change in your situation? Till you take the step that you're going to say, no, this is different. I meant it. Trust in God and step out and let us pray with you. Can you do that this morning? And also, if we can agree with you in prayer, we're going to go back into that season where we will trust in you, oh God. For things that you just want, I want you to go to this side. So I know we did some of that earlier, but I felt like for some, you just want to make sure it's going back. Maybe it's being persistent, just like the woman that we learned of today, in grace, that I can walk in that new awareness of grace, that yes, I am not giving up that I went up earlier. I want God to heal my body. I want God to heal my marriage. I want God to heal my finances. I want God to do that gracious work in my life. Grace is on display today. And every Sunday, every day, he shines. Heavenly Father, as we continue into worship today, I pray that, Father, we will respond to your word. Father, in a new season, in a new way, will we look at your grace and step forward and not be afraid of what people will think, not care about the shame that I might carry, but God, just in a determination, God, I will trust in you. I want your victory in my life. No regrets, but full on living for you. God, as we go back into a time of worship, may you just make that our resolve, that we will trust you like never before. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, amen. So, church family, we are so grateful for you. There isn't a day Stacy and I aren't grateful to be your pastors and to be here with you. And we love you all. And it's our delight. Thank you for praying for us. It's our prayer for you. May the Lord be, Lord, may right now, God, may you just pour out your presence upon our church. Lord, may you bless, may you protect. Lord, may you shine upon Calvary Church today. May you be gracious to you. Lord, may you show your favor and give us your peace. Lord, to the blessing and to the praise of your name, to the building of your church, to the blessing of our lives, Lord, as we go this week and even in a moment we'll eat, we pray you bless our food, bless our lunch. Father, may we celebrate a new season. May we celebrate grace that you have given to us today. So, Lord, we're grateful for a wonderful church, that the best is yet to come. We invite you in Jesus' name. Bless our rest of our day and our food. In Jesus' name, amen.